listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Few voices are left from the generation that witnessed and experienced the Holocaust. But the effect of these horrors remains potent for their descendants, grappling with the terror and eerie mundanity of life in Nazi Germany. In her book, Send For Me, author Lauren Fox explores what life was like for Jews in Germany as the Nazis took control of the country. The story is told through several time periods, connecting the lives of four generations of women. A mother desperately trying to find a way out of Nazi Germany, writing to her daughter who escaped to Milwaukee. A granddaughter brought to Milwaukee as a child, and her child discovering the letters that unlocked her family's history. Although the story is fictional, the letters are very real, taken verbatim from the letters Fox's grandmother sent her daughter in Milwaukee. Fox joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the book and the letters that inspired it.
So these are letters that have been with you for a long time, for your lifetime. In many ways, they're a part of your origin story. Why was now the right time to write this story?
Oh, that's a really good question, and I have to answer it in a long-winded way. So because I started working on the story when I found the letters, like 25 years ago. I was getting my master's degree in creative writing from the University of Minnesota when I found the letters. And so after I had them translated, well, sort of alongside the process of having them translated, I started working them into a memoir. It was my master's thesis, but I feel like it was kind of a failed project. Memoir wasn't my genre. I was kind of too young, I think. So I put them aside for a long time. I did a bunch of other things. I wrote some other novels. And then about 5 years ago, I think the first kind of moment when I felt like I needed to return to this story was when we learned about the Muslim ban that was put into effect. And I mean, things were so horrible in this country, but that was a moment for me when I thought, oh my God, the past is with us. We haven't learned from our mistakes. And this is the moment when I need to start thinking about this story again. And then of course, we were also seeing around the same time, images of children being separated at the border. And it just it all felt, horrifying and too resonant. And it kind of just made me feel like, okay, now's the moment.
It is in some way, it's not a fictionalized version of your life, but it's a fictionalized version of parts of your life, I guess. Why did you decide to write it in this way instead of writing something that was nonfiction?
I had attempted to write this story as a memoir to kind of like work through and understand how the letters and how my family's history, moved through the generations and came to fruition in me. But I feel like I'm not really a memoirist. And a few people had to remind me that I had actually written three novels. And then in fact, I'm a novelist and fiction is more my genre. And also it just felt like in a world where Holocaust deniers exist, right? In a world where like anyone could ask the question, did the Holocaust happen? I feel such an obligation to tell the truth. So that kind of stymied me for a long time because I felt like the only way to tell the truth was through memoir. But I realized I could stay true to the story. The letters that appear in the novel I made a promise to myself that those letters I wouldn't change a thing. Those are the words of my great-grandmother. But the story needed to be fiction. I couldn't get into the thoughts and hearts of my actual relatives. I could only imagine what they were thinking and feeling. And also the letters shined a light on those aspects, but I couldn't write it as a true story. I needed to write it as a novel. And I also feel like I only figured this out recently. I kind of feel like I was having a conversation with those letters. Like my great grandmother would say something in the letters like, you forgot your coat, or like, if I don't remember everything, this is what happens. And so I could sort of construct a scene around those little snippets that she offered me, and I could write a whole story about the two characters going coat shopping, So I was able to me, that's like the pleasure of fiction, to sort of imagine the stories based on these kernels of truth.
That part of the book really spoke to me. I grew up with a woman who was like my grandmother. She was a young Jewish woman living here in Milwaukee during the Holocaust. And since her passing, I've thought a lot about these questions that I didn't ask her, that I wish I would have. Sensitive things that, never feel appropriate. What was it like for you exploring these questions, these ideas, these stories through your book?
Well, my grandparents really didn't talk about it. I think that, you know, people process trauma in different ways. And, you know, some people, I think, talk about it and really tell those stories, and some people suppress them. And my grandparents, I think they were trying to protect us. I think they were just, you know, they were really loving, wonderful people. They weren't, you know, it's not like the repressed issues like came up in any way. They just, I think, made the decision not to talk about the really hard, sad things they had been through. You know, they would offer me little snippets, kind of little anecdotes here and there. So I knew a few things. My mom is open to talking about it. She was a baby when she came here, so she doesn't have any memories of that experience. So for me, it was like, I knew that this was my history. Like, I knew where they had come from, and of course knew the larger history, but it was never a conscious thing growing up. I never knew the whole story. And the letters that I discovered don't really tell the story. Like, they weren't my great-grandmother's attempt to tell me a story. They were letters that she wrote as she was trying desperately to leave Germany. So I feel like I was constructing this fictionalized version of their story based on little bits and pieces and little things I had heard and little like things that I knew about that particular era. But it was like a really satisfying and difficult and emotionally draining process for me to build this story up from the small pieces that I knew.
With that in mind, this book actually required a lot of historical research, it seems. What was it like digging into these parts of often everyday history that are in many ways a part of your life's story?
I mean, it's strange to say that I loved doing the historical research, but I found it so satisfying. I really enjoyed that part of the process. You know, I was kind of writing and researching at the same time. I was like, you know, I would like come up with a question, and then I would go to my books or go to the internet and just find the little details of, you know, I would be like, what kind of shoes would a woman have been wearing in 1933? And I could kind of go down the rabbit hole for, you know, an entire day looking at like different shoe styles of the 1930s. So that stuff I found really enjoyable. I've never written historical fiction before. So to me, that was illuminating and very cool. And of course, it was a, you know, difficult time to be researching. So, I mean, there were challenges, and it was, you know, it was hard to sort of put myself in the position of imagining my relatives during this horrible time in global history. So, you know, it had its challenges for sure, but I found it like, it really, like immersing myself in that history really gave me the confidence to write this book.
You mentioned earlier, you used your great-grandmother's words verbatim. Why was that so important to you?
Well, like I said before, I feel like I made this promise to myself that I wouldn't change her words, because that to me is like the beating heart of the book. It's the like authenticity of the book weaving through it. Like I said, she wasn't trying to tell me a story. She was just trying to get out of Germany. And I feel like, you know, quoting her words was like inviting her into this story and allowing her to be the voice of this story. You know, like so many people we're losing so much of the generation that remembers the Holocaust is already gone. And so I feel like that too was a piece of it for me. I feel like opening myself up to that obligation to the truth and weaving it through my story felt like the right move.
There are so many people from that generation who are dying right now, have already died. Most of the people who are still alive were children at the time. You would have had to be. What do you think is the obligation, not just of people whose families endured the Holocaust, but of all of us who know these stories? What do you think our obligation is?
I mean, I'm not the first person to say that, you know, our obligation is to remember these stories. And I think it's also to live in the world as ethical people who know our history and do whatever we can to prevent history from repeating itself. There's some study came out, I can't remember specifically, but a huge percentage of, I think it was millennials, don't know how many people died in the Holocaust. They like have estimates from like, you know, 1 million to 3 million. I feel like, you know, we're losing so much of that, and it's really important to do whatever we can to illuminate the truth.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lauren Fox is a novelist based in Shorewood and the author of Send For Me. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.